Our second reading from God's holy word for this day comes to us out of the book of Joshua. Joshua, we remember, is that story about how the people come into the promised land. The first five books of the Bible tell us how we become faithful people and how we goof up. And then in Exodus, we hear how we come out of Egypt and back to the promised land. And Joshua tells us all about the adventures we have as we come back into the land and settle there. We're going to pick up towards the end of the book. We're reading portions of chapter 24. I invite you to listen to this tale we have today of Joshua calling together the people of Israel to a covenant ceremony. Listen then for God's word now. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many." And then Joshua, speaking for God, goes on and presents a short summary of the saving acts of God related to the promises given to Abraham: the birth of Isaac, the move to Egypt by Jacob and his sons to escape famine, the return to Egypt under Moses and Aaron, the escape through the Red Sea, the years in the wilderness, the move into the promised land where they have now settled. We pick up now in verse 13, Joshua still speaking for God about all the gifts the Israelites have received. "I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built. And you live in them, you eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And then a dialogue follows between the people and Joshua about their willingness to commit again to God. And Joshua concludes his sermon by admonishing them to put away their foreign gods. Verse 24. "The people said to Joshua, 'The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey.' So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem." Here in the readings from God's holy word for this day. And to God's name be all glory and praise now and forever. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse our thoughts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. Choose this day whom you will serve. I'll serve Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Really? You know, it actually is much easier for us to talk about Jesus as our Savior than Jesus as our Lord. You scratch any six-year-old and he will tell you that Jesus being our Savior means we get to go to heaven when we die, and he's proud to know it. Ask most 12-year-olds the same question, and watch their eyes wander off to where their fingers are itching to get back to something on their phone. Talk to someone with a few more miles on her odometer, and heaven may have regained some appeal, perhaps as a place of comfort or of rest, of reunion, of release. All in all, the Savior side of Jesus really can be pretty appealing to us. Our folk theology tells it to us this way: if we're good, we go to heaven. If we're bad, we go to hell. And if I try, Jesus is going to overlook what I've done wrong. Choose this day whom you will serve. Well, I serve God. I work in the church. And you serve God. Whether it's figuring out why the fan doesn't properly cool the Doughboy's cookies, or buying for and helping with the family Christmas shop, or teaching, or using musical gifts, or ushering, or tying blankets, name your niches. We have lots of hands in all kinds of service here. Yes, it's going to take a while to comprehend it all. Choose this day. Choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua actually lays the choice out pretty bluntly for his friends and for us. The Israelites have come back. They have come up out of Egypt, and they've come in through the back door over the River Jordan into that promised land that was first promised to their great-great, ever-so-great grandparents, Abraham and Sarah. Having followed Moses up out of the land of Egypt, having followed Joshua across the Jordan and through the possessing of the land, they have come now into the land of promise and been sorted out into their own territories. And did you hear in the text, living in towns they did not build, and eating fruit they did not plant? So Joshua's old. He's looking at his own death, and like Moses before him, he wants to be really certain that all those that he led and has loved so long have received the central message that he's been giving them the whole time he's in leadership. He has sent out across the nation. He sent out the call to all the Israelites all over the land in their different territories to come together at Shechem. Shechem is the east-west crossroads of the land of Israel, and to come there. They can't get lost. They don't even need GPS. They don't even need Northmore Road open to get there. I've learned a lot of detours lately. Yeah. They don't even need that open, because all they got to do is look up, depending on where they live. They either, if they're looking from the north, they see Mount Ebal. If they're looking from the south, they see Mount Gerizim. They just have to keep one of those mountains in their sight and make their way to it, and there's only one place to gather, the flat place that's in between them. And so they have them come. Joshua has them come and gather. And his pitch is super simple. God is God. No one else is. No one else counts. Before your ancestors knew better, back when they lived up there across the Euphrates River, they fooled around with worshiping some little gods. Heck, they could even cast them into molds and carry them around in their saddlebags if they wanted to. Now we know, we've learned better. Now we know that God is God. But we can't control who lives next door to us, Joshua says. So we're living in the same neighborhoods with people that don't share our faith. They're worshiping all kinds of gods, gods of frogs and harvests and fertility and rain, the gods of everything. But our God is the God of everything. Our God is the maker of heaven and earth and all that is in it. A choice needs to be made today. We've already talked this over down at my house, Joshua says. And we all choose God. Yes, yes, say the Israelites, count me in. I want to be on your team. Why, God is the one who brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, protecting and caring for us all along the way, giving us this land that we're living in now. We're right with you, Joshua. We too will serve the Lord, for our God, for God is our God. Be careful what you promise. Joshua cautions them, be careful what you promise, because your words stand as witness against you. You're going to be expected to live up to the words that come out of your mouth. God does not take betrayal lightly. In fact, promises Joshua, if we turn against God, God will turn against us. Are you still sure? Are you still sure you want to choose to serve God? Yes. Yes, we will serve the Lord. So how can we take this commitment ceremony from centuries ago and translate it into this world that you and I live in? What does it mean, choosing to serve the Lord and the Lord alone? At first glance, you know, our world can seem pretty different than the land of Shechem, right? The area there. Here we are drawn together into this worshiping community, not so much by shared ethnicity and history and faith practices as the Israelites are. Rather, we all walk into the doors here with different backgrounds, out of different families. We might have different values, different patterns, interests. We may be converts, but we do share two things in common. This is our unity in our diversity. We share the answer to the first question, are you a sinner? Okay, I'll answer it first. Am I a sinner? Yes. Are you a sinner? A little reluctant. Are you a sinner? Yes. And we share the same answer to the second question that comes. Who is your Lord and Savior? Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, right? So I actually think that our world is remarkably like the world where our ancestors are surrounded by multiple patterns of allegiances and all kinds of gods around them. And they may too struggle with allegiances. And I would submit to you that the second part of the claim is not so tough for us. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Feels good. It's safe. It's the Jesus Christ is my Lord that is much more difficult. Hey, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be? After all, we live in a republic, don't we? Where by our democratic choices, by our voting, we elevate women and men to rule over us. And then we remove them from rule the same way, by voting. We vote them in, we vote them out. Maybe we vote them out because of graft, or sometimes they just weary us with their conversation. Sometimes it's because someone else comes along that resonates with us regardless. You and I have the privilege of living in a republic where we give over authority to those who rule us, and we take away authority from those who rule us as we choose. But this is not the way authority works with God and Jesus. True? Is God King? Is Jesus Lord? Because we choose them, or we elect them, or we appoint them to such positions? Of course not. They choose us, don't they? Chosen of the Lord and precious. Shirley Guthrie Jr. reminds us that Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is not Lord by our permission or because he's won enough votes to get into office. God made him Lord and Christ. And so this lordship of Jesus, of Christ, has nothing to do with our wills. The will of the people. So the risen Christ is not president, chairman of the board, senator, to whom we give power and from whom we can take it away. Jesus is Lord, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, no matter what you and I do. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's a question of loyalty and commitment. If we serve Jesus, it's not because we've decided to give him a promotion. Jesus is already Lord because of God's doing, of God raising him from the dead. Choose this day whom you will serve. If we serve Jesus, if we serve Jesus, it is because we give ourselves over to him to be transformed and to be used to go out and help transform this world. Choose this day. Choose this day whom you will serve. If we serve Jesus, if we choose to stand on the side of good and not on the side of evil. So we gather. We gather to worship week by week, to celebrate, to grieve, but mostly to be in community with each other, to be reminded of our purpose. We come into this space, and sometimes as we gather, we sigh over what has happened in just the last week, talking about the awful things we hear about in the news. And we enter into this space, and here we say some familiar words, and we do some familiar things together. And the preacher says, God loves you. I love you. Now get out of here. Yeah. And the next Sunday we do the same thing, don't we? We come back in, into the space. We gather and we do some familiar things. And we say some familiar words. And the preacher will say, God loves you. I love you. Now get out of here. But we don't go back into the world alone or unequipped. God gives us 100 little ways and means to live in this world this next week. And here's that good news. Only ask for 10 of them back. Like the Israelites gathered at Shechem, we are here to be reminded of where we have come from, who has accompanied us all along the way, and who promises to be with us in every path that we take that lies ahead. We are gathered always to choose, yet, still, again, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day who you will belong to. Jesus is Lord. He has been Lord from the beginning. He has been Lord until now. He will be Lord until the end. And even now, he is Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. Yet, again, still. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.